everyone. I'm glad you joined me today. Hey, today we're going to talk about something really interesting. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven over and over again in, it's recorded in the New Testament. He talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and John the Baptist talked about it. You know, it's mentioned the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, which is the same thing, is mentioned in almost every book in the New Testament. You know, the Jews were eagerly anticipating the kingdom of God when Jesus was born. When he walked on this earth and when he was crucified and raised from the dead, they were anticipating, they were looking forward to the kingdom of God coming. They were waiting for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is so important that Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is so, so, so important in a Christian's life. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom, seek first his kingdom." So the kingdom of God is what we are supposed to be seeking above and beyond anything else, the kingdom of God. It's so important. So what is this kingdom? What is the kingdom of God, and how is it different from other kingdoms? What exactly is it? How was it different than the kingdoms that ruled the world during Jesus' time, his life on this earth, which would have been the Roman Empire? How is the kingdom of God different than the British Empire or the Russian Empire or the Ming Dynasty or the United States of America? What is the difference? How is it different? During Jesus's life, most Jews who were looking for the Messiah were hoping and believing in with all their heart for a political or a military leader or a combination of both, or a king who would restore Israel's land, power, and authority. And that's what they thought the Messiah was going to be, and that's what they thought the kingdom of God was that Israel would be restored, their land, their power, and their authority. And many, many of his disciples thought this. And one of Jesus' disciples, his name was Simon, was called Simon the Zealot because he was part of a fanatical cult or sect called the Zealots that thought the Messiah was going to overthrow the Roman Empire through military force. They were looking for a military takeover of the Roman Empire. They had trouble understanding that the kingdom of God and the coming Messiah was a spiritual thing. It wasn't a political thing or a military thing. It was hard for them to figure out or accept or realize or understand that the kingdom of God that Jesus was bringing was not going to overthrow the Roman Empire. Many times throughout the ages, we have the same problem. Over and over again, we have the same problem. We're looking for a solution to natural problems through a takeover of the government or whatever. We think a natural human leader is going to bring the kingdom of God or God's will to our country, whatever we decide it might be at that time. In the time that Jesus lived on this earth, they thought that kingdom of God was going to take over the Roman Empire. In the United States right now, we might think it's something different. And during the Ming Dynasty, they might have thought it was something different. But that's a problem that we have, you know, human beings have over and over again, is we think that the kingdom of God is somehow hooked up with a particular national or worldly government or kingdom. The Greek word for kingdom is used 162 times in the New Testament, so it's a subject that was brought up over and over and over again, and it's very important. There's a great, enormous, vast, astronomical night and day difference between the kingdom of God and any kingdom in this world. And you know, as Christians, we are part of God's kingdom before we are part of any earthly kingdom. You know, here in the United States, I'm a Christian, and that's more important and head and tails above being a United States citizen. And so it would be if you're a Christian in Germany or England or one of the countries in Africa or in Asia or South America. If you're a Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and that is far, far, far above and more important than being a part or a citizen of your country. Our devotion is to God's kingdom before any other kingdom. As a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we follow God's commandments and mandates before the requirements of any kingdom on this earth. So our life as citizens in our earthly kingdom should all be dictated and run by our citizenship in the kingdom of God. And we should act like we're citizens of the kingdom of God. Jesus is our leader before any king or emperor or ruler or president on this earth. And our devotion, our dedication is to him first. Again, Jesus said to seek first his kingdom. So let's look at God's kingdom and the differences just in this short time, just a few differences it has with worldly kingdoms. First of all, how do you become a citizen of a kingdom, are part of a government, part of a country? Every kingdom has laws about who can be considered a citizen. Now, in the United States, the main way to become a citizen of the United States, or in most countries, is to be born there. But to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must have a spiritual rebirth. In John 3:3, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." How can a person be born again? You might ask that question, well, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to be part of the kingdom of heaven. What is this being born again? How do I become born again? Well, in the scriptures, it says that to be born again, we need to repent of our sins. That means that we're sorry. We want to turn our life around. We want to turn our life toward God. And we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe in our heart that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And we believe that with our whole heart. And we also say it out loud with our mouth. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I trust in you with all my heart. And the Bible says that we're born again when we do that, when we do that from our heart. So I want to ask you a question. Which is more important to you, your natural citizenship in the country you call home? Is that more important to you? Or is your citizenship in the kingdom of God, your eternal kingdom, more important to you? We can all tell, we can all look at ourselves and tell which is more important to us, which we give the most attention to, and what we express the most love for. Our lives will reveal whether we think it's more important or we're seeking first God's kingdom, or if it's more important to us, our national pride, our national patriotism, our national citizenship. So we need to always look at ourselves, because as you'll see, it's really, really, really common and easy for human beings to get their priorities out of whack when they're thinking about what kingdom they're seeking. Another massive difference in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdoms of this earth are the news, what you hear in these kingdoms. In the natural worldly kingdoms, the local governments, the local this country, that country, the other country, the local, national, and world news of earthly kingdoms is war, fear, panic, hopelessness, rage, anger, murder, crime, lies, cheating, stealing, disease, adultery, abuse, lust for power, lust for money, lust for position. And the news can't always be trusted as truth. Many kingdoms control the news, such as Russia, China, North Korea. Many news agencies report and comment on things in a slanted way so that they can keep their advertisers and their viewers. So the news in the worldly kingdom is not good news. But the news of the kingdom of God is true news. John 18:37, Jesus said, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So when you're thinking about, oh, should I listen to, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, One American News, Newsmax, and on and on and on. What we should be listening to before, above and beyond anything else, is the truth, which the only truth is Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We should be listening more to the Word of God, more to the good news of the gospel, than we listen to any news outlet, because that is true news, true news. Also, the news of the kingdom of God is good news. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Sounds like good news to me. What about you? Good news. Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. He was healing people. He was loving people. He was helping people. And that is the good news of the kingdom. Now, if Jesus was doing what a lot of us do from time to time, he would have been talking about Herod. He would have been talking about Pilate. He would have been talking about their crimes, their sins, how they were an oppressive government, how we're going to take the view of the zealots. We're going to get our weapons and we're going to overthrow the government and all this stuff. But Jesus wasn't talking about natural kingdoms. He was talking about the kingdom of God, and he was sharing good news, help for people, hope for people, salvation for people. In Proverbs 15:30, it says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. So if you're listening to the good news of the gospel, you're bringing health to your bones. And if you are sharing good news instead of doom and gloom and panic and fear about whatever is going on in your government, you're bringing health to people. You're bringing help to people, and you're bringing healing to people. So I want to ask you a question. What kind of news is the kingdom you are following producing? What kind of news are you listening to? The truth of God's word? Or fear, anger, hatred, grasping for power, gossip, sarcasm, resentment, and backbiting? This is a good way to gauge what kingdom our loyalty is to, is what kind of news we're filling our hearts and minds with. Another thing about the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this earth, or the kingdoms of this earth, are temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal. Every kingdom on this earth has come to an end along with its leader. All throughout the ages, every kingdom has come to an end along with its leader. Hitler, Nazi Germany, Stalin, Mussolini, Nero, Mao Zedong, Attila the Hun, Idi Amin, King Manasseh, which is one of the most evil kings in the Bible, and on and on. Leaders and kingdoms, good and bad alike, they all come and go. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So don't you want to stick with the kingdom that's going to last forever, and with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that will never be dethroned, who will never lose power, who will never lack influence, who will never let you down? I'll stick with the eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. In Hebrews 1:8, it says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be a scepter of your kingdom. So God's kingdom, the eternal kingdom, is an eternal kingdom. will last forever and ever. Another difference is earthly kingdoms produce earthly things. The kingdom of God produces spiritual things. And that's really hard, hard to deal with, because we want to solve natural problems all the time right away. We want to deal with things in the natural way. We want to be able to see and feel what's going on. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world, including the kingdoms of this world. Do not love them. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So we see in the kingdoms of this world how things are accomplished, how things are done, is you know, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and what he does, and those don't come from the Father. But the things that we do, that God gives us the desire for, when we do the will of God, that lives on forever. So we find an example of this, you know, trying to do things the worldly way, here in Matthew 20, verse 20, it says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons, which was James and John, came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him." "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." So this woman wanted her sons, James and John, in Jesus' kingdom to be sitting on his right hand and his left hand. She, in her mind, was thinking that Jesus was setting up an earthly kingdom. He was going to be on a throne. He was going to be sitting there. And she wanted her son, one son on the right side and one son on the left side. And we find in another gospel that these two, James and John, also asked Jesus to sit on his right hand and the left hand. And evidently, you know, if at first you don't succeed, send your mother in and ask. So she was thinking that Jesus was setting up an earthly kingdom. When he sat on his throne in Jerusalem, she wanted her sons to flank him on either side. She was looking out for her sons. She desired recognition, prestige, power, position for her sons. But she was missing God's kingdom. She just missed it. She missed Jesus talking about his own, the kingdom of God. She missed it while she was focusing on an earthly kingdom producing earthly things. We find it one of the most consequential and serious and spiritual times at the Last Supper, when Jesus is eating his last meal before he's crucified with his disciples, that the disciples were arguing over who would be greatest, because they were thinking about an earthly kingdom, not the kingdom of God. They thought the kingdom of God was going to be the overthrow of the Roman government, and Jesus would be sitting on his throne, and Israel would be restored. They were thinking in natural things. They were thinking about natural things, kings, kingdoms. I'm going to be your vice president, or I'm going to be your, you know, your prime minister. I'm going to be your secretary of state. I'm going to sit on your right. I'm going to sit on your left. Which one of us is going to be the greatest in your kingdom? And Jesus told them that the person who was going to be greatest was going to be a servant of all. Another example, see, this is a common problem that we have, that we try to hook up natural kingdoms with the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus, you know, puts the brakes on that. In Acts, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was eating with the disciples. In Acts 1:6, it says, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" Gotta get a drink. "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Again, 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 the disciples are asking him about natural Israel, about a kingdom, a natural Israel kingdom. And Jesus isn't talking about that. That's not why they came. They were still thinking about a natural kingdom. In our country, some have represented presidential candidates as though they were going to establish the kingdom of God in the USA. It continues to be a lack of understanding about the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual kingdom, not a natural one. Again, earthly kingdoms produce earthly things. The kingdom of God produces spiritual things. And you know, we don't think that's enough. We want to see things done right now, and we want to see them done the way we want them done, but it's not God's way. In John 15, 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." The most fundamental part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is a spiritual principle, which is love each other. Jesus came and God sent him. Jesus came and he died for what some people call the scum of the earth, what some people call crazy people, what some people call not people at all. Jesus came for each person. And if we can't love mankind, if we can't love everyone, if we can't love the unlovely, if we can't love the sinners, then we have failed at the most basic principle of the kingdom of God, and we are dwelling and living and abiding in the earthly kingdom, and that will not be eternal. So Jesus, part of being part of the kingdom of God and part of the kingdom of heaven, is bearing fruit for the kingdom of heaven, and the main fruit of the kingdom of heaven is love. And you can gauge yourself. You know, am I walking in love? You can gauge people that you look up to, people that you're following in government, people that you're following in the church world. Is love reigning in their life? In Galatians 5:22, I'm talking about earthly kingdoms produce earthly things. The kingdom of God produces spiritual things. Galatians 5:22. "But of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the kingdom of God." If we're part of the kingdom of God, let's keep in step with the kingdom of God and have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those are hallmarks of the kingdom of God. And if those things are being produced in your life, you can be assured that you're seeking God first and his kingdom first. Another difference is earthly kingdoms require obedience to laws, addressing only our outward actions. Like, you know, if you steal, you're going to be arrested and you're going to go have a trial and go to jail. Or if you're speeding, you're going to be, you know, stopped and get a ticket, and then you're going to owe a fine. The laws of the kingdom of God address our hearts, because from our hearts is where our actions come from. Matthew 4:17, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" So he was trying to get people prepared for the kingdom of heaven. For to enter the kingdom of heaven, as I said before, we have to repent. We have to turn around. We have to turn from our old ways and decide to follow Jesus. And so it's a heart issue. The kingdom of heaven deals with our hearts. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." And what he was addressing there, the religious officials at the time, religious people, were pummeling Jesus with questions about rules and regulations, about what they should eat, what they should drink, you know, how they should wash their hands, how they should do this, that, and the other, all kinds of rules and regulations. And Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is not a matter of rules and regulations, eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So is your life full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? That's what the kingdom of heaven is. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations and judging people and nitpicking. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's how we can tell if we're desiring and if we're following the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. See, this is part of the kingdoms of this earthly kingdoms, is when people are plotting and scheming and trying to trip people up. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Or in other words, the whole kingdom of God is wrapped up in these two commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to just caution you, it is real easy to be around people that are tearing people down, calling people names, talking bad about people behind their backs, and I just caution you to stay away from those kind of people. You need to be around people who love, because things rub off on you. I think about different TV shows that had the one character that was always stirring up trouble in the town. In like Little House on the Prairie, years and years ago, it was Mrs. Olson. She was a gossip and she was always stirring up trouble and always causing problems and always talking behind people's back. There people like that are around everywhere. People like that are in your families, in your churches, in your politics, in the news, and you know, we need to follow Jesus' command. We need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. And that should be the hallmark of your life, and it's the hallmark of the kingdom of God. And just the opposite is the hallmark of earthly kingdoms. So we can all judge ourselves by what we're seeking, what we're following, by what we're saying out of our own mouths, our own attitudes, and what we're hooked up with, let's see. The ways, here's another one. The ways of the kingdom are totally and completely diametrically different than the ways of earthly kingdoms. Have you ever noticed? I mean, I'm, you know, in my 60s right now, so I've been aware of politics, not my whole life, but maybe the last 20 years more aware of it, and doing research on, you know, what goes on and learning about, like, Nazi Germany. I have an interest in World War II, learning about how different people come to power in all different elections in the United States. Just the way that the world is, not too often are political campaigns run with integrity. There's usually some lying and cheating and stealing, so we can't think that the kingdom of God is not here to win political elections, because political elections in the United States are won by whoever votes for whoever gets the most votes, and a lot of times those votes are obtained through through lies and all kinds of things. I remember reading about when John F. Kennedy was running for office. Of course, he was the first Catholic, I believe, that ran. He was the first Catholic that got elected, and there was a great deal of prejudice against Catholics at the time. So his father had a news story run in a big publication or whatever, like a scandal thing that, I can't remember the whole thing, but he was saying something bad about Catholics or something, and he did that to turn the tables on the whole election so people would feel sorry for his son. I'm sorry, I didn't prepare to tell about that, but if you look into presidential campaigns and senatorial races and even school board races, there's so much dirty stuff going on, and people win by doing dirty stuff. We have to understand that. So that's not a part of the kingdom of God, and we need to stay away from dirty hijinks. Our goal, our mission on this earth is to seek first the kingdom of God. Our number one goal is to walk in love, love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We are different, and we have to accept that. We need to be different. Our kingdom is totally and completely different than the way that the earthly kingdoms run. So if we look at the teachings and life of Jesus, we'll find many things that went against traditional thinking and the way things were done. Many people were left astounded because they couldn't believe how bizarrely different it was than their natural thinking. Examples of this are the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you've heard it said this way, now I'm telling you this is the right way. You've heard it taught this way, now I'm telling you this is the right way. He went over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount, telling them stuff that didn't sync up with their natural thinking. And it was totally and completely different than what they thought. So many parables that Jesus taught are about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. People had difficulty understanding the parables, and one reason is because the parables were revealing a kingdom that went by different standards than earthly kingdoms or the religious traditions, and they just couldn't comprehend it because it didn't make sense to them. Another thing that was totally different was Jesus's kind treatment and love of children, which in that time, you know, children weren't respected, or they were thought of, you know, you just need to, you know, you're a second class citizen or whatever. The people didn't think that children were as important as Jesus thought they were, and that kind of astounded people. Jesus had compassion and love for the poor, the disabled. He had compassion and love for foreigners, sinners, and others who were shunned by the religious world and by society. So you can tell if you're walking in the kingdom of God, if you're part of the kingdom of God, if you're seeking first God's kingdom, if you're compassionate toward people, if you're compassionate toward the rejected parts of society. If you're compassionate toward a hooker, if you're compassionate toward a migrant, if you're compassionate toward a murderer, if you're compassionate toward the worst of sinners, then you'll have the love of Jesus in your heart. And, you know, in our society, you know, in the world, it doesn't make sense because, you know, you shame different people or you don't like different people or different people, you know, if they rub you the wrong way, then you don't like them. But that's not the way of the kingdom of God. Another way that was totally and completely different, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about, was that the least in this world, the least would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And as we can see from the disciples, just the disciples, all their talk about positioning themselves and who's going to be the greatest, they didn't accept that. They didn't like it. They didn't understand it. It was beyond their comprehension. How could you have a kingdom where the least person is the greatest? And Jesus also taught that to be great in God's kingdom, you need to be a servant. So you can see that the whole makeup and everything about the kingdom of God is totally different than the kingdoms of this earth. Many Christians over the centuries have stepped outside of what the kingdom of God is to enable or support an earthly kingdom. It's a real temptation. It's a real temptation because we want to do something. We want to get something done. The greatest effect we can have on the world, the greatest change we can make, can only be done within the confines of the kingdom of God. The devil loves to keep us focused on the natural kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. He loves to keep us embroiled in it and hooked up to it. And we got to do something. We got to say something. But if we are strong Christians, if we are strong Christians, we're living according to the word, we're walking in love, we're standing up for what the word of God says, we will have more effect on this world than any kind of natural kingdom. An example of you know, Christians who are not living according to the word, they weren't strong in the Lord, they weren't walking in love. Many people called themselves Christians in Nazi Germany. But the Christians, the people that were supposed to be in the kingdom of God, walking according to kingdom principles, spewed hate toward Jews and others in Nazi Germany, calling them vermin and not people and things like that. And they helped to enable the destruction of millions of people. And it wasn't just Jews. It was all kinds of people, Catholics and blacks and disabled people and teachers and all kinds of people were slaughtered and killed in Nazi Germany. And it all stems from decades of Christians not living according to the word of God, not walking in love. In the U.S., many Christian churchgoers in the 1920s were also KKK members, hating, harassing, oppressing, and killing Black Americans. So it shows that they were participants in the earthly kingdom, but they weren't walking according to the kingdom of God, and they weren't hooked up with the kingdom of God. And they did it with such religious fervor. They felt like they had a mandate from God, but it didn't come from God. It came from an earthly kingdom masquerading as Christianity. It didn't come from the Bible. Many leaders who called themselves Christians had other Christians sent to jail and even killed for preaching the gospel or translating and printing the Bible in a language people could read and understand. Think about that. We have to hook ourselves up with the Lord. We have to hook ourselves up with the kingdom of God and stay hooked up with it, because we can get sidetracked. We can get deceived into thinking we're fighting for the Lord when we're really fighting for the devil and his kingdoms. In the U.S., people who call themselves Christians start and join political action committees, which in some cases, end up lying and trying to destroy the lives and reputations of good people. So their cause, their fervor for the Lord, or the candidate they are promoting can win. When our fervor for something, our passion for something in this world causes us to violate scripture, causes us to treat people like garbage, we're operating in the kingdom of this earth and not the kingdom of God. So many Christian organizations have turned from the kingdom of God to the promotion of earthly kingdoms, pretending and making people believe they are speaking for the kingdom of God. But when the goal of a Christian organization is to promote earthly kingdoms and earthly things, it's not a Christian organization, because we don't have a mandate for that in the Bible. We have a mandate for preaching the gospel, for loving people, to walk, have the fruit of the Spirit, bearing fruit in our life, taking care of things like that. Many people who call themselves Christians, and go back to what I said, it's important to be involved in our world, but not to do it in a way that is not within the confines of Scripture. What I mean about that is lying, cheating, stealing, demeaning people, making fun of people, things like that. You know, like I said before, Jesus was here on this earth during a time where the country of Israel, the nation of Israel, was oppressed by the Roman Empire. And Jesus never addressed that. He never called them names. He never called them dogs. He never called them swine. He never called them any number of names. He didn't say we're going to overthrow them. He didn't say we're going to rebel against them. He didn't say any of that. He dealt with the kingdom of God, with spiritual things. Many people who call themselves Christians, who felt like they were doing the work of the kingdom of God, lied about the last presidential election in the U.S. to further a natural leader and a natural kingdom, not the kingdom of God. But many thought they were advancing the kingdom of God, but what they were doing is they stepped totally out of the kingdom of God and did natural things, evil things, to, in their mind, promote godly things. Instead of following Jesus, they followed a man who had a lust for power. This path had led some to beat police officers, spew all kinds of filthy things out of their mouths, be in a fervor to kill the vice president, and many ended up spending thousands of dollars in legal fees to defend their actions, and many ended up in prison. It reminds me of the zealots that I talked about earlier in Jesus' day. And many of these people felt like they had a mandate from God to do this. They felt like they were operating within the kingdom of God when it was just an earthly kingdom, like James and John looking for positions, like so many people. But you can't find that kind of mandate in the New Testament from Jesus Christ. It's not part of the kingdom of God. Jesus lived, as I said before, Jesus lived on this earth during a time of oppressive Roman rule. He did not deal with this issue that was ever present in people's minds. We can learn from him. We can change the world by living as the light of the world, living like we belong to the kingdom of God. And I encourage you to do that. If our lifeblood, if our passion, if our energy is to support our particular earthly kingdom, we have neglected a higher calling, a most important calling, our eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God. When you get discouraged or upset or angry or outraged or depressed or fearful about this world, remember, this is not your kingdom. This is not your home. This is not your sanctuary, your resting place, or your eternity. The kingdom of God is. In John 14:25, it says, "All this I have spoken while I'm still with you." This is Jesus speaking. "All this I have still spoken, I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We need the Holy Spirit. So as Jesus said, I encourage you to listen to these words. When you get frustrated about things going on in the earthly kingdoms around us, peace, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world or as worldly kingdoms or the kingdoms of this earth give. I don't give that to you, but I give you peace. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I say that to you. I say that to myself. We need to have the peace of God. We need to have his peace, not the world's. The world's not going to give us any peace. We need to have the peace of God. We need to make sure that our hearts are not troubled or be afraid. So let's endeavor to always seek God's kingdom first. And in God's kingdom, there is peace, love, rest, and joy. So as I told you before, you know, I want to know, are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? And if you're not, I just encourage you to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that his blood washed away all your sins, and become a child of God. And ask Jesus to just put you in his family, put you in the kingdom of God by putting your trust in him and repenting of your sins, and share this good news with other people. Hey, as I close, I want to remind you that Pastor Terry preached a sermon a couple years ago about what about political prophecies, and it's something that has been a big problem. People prophesying all kinds of things about natural kingdoms instead of focusing on the kingdom of God. And I encourage you to listen to that. The link is in on the details below this this video. So you'll have a blessed day and seek first God's kingdom and be full of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Bye-bye.